always push for what you love, even if you can't do it at the moment and you have to do another job, that's totally fine. And we can't just kind of go and say like, oh, you can only do what you love, because that's just irresponsible. But you can always do it after hours and always end up making it a career somehow.
Yo, 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 what is going on, guys? This is your boy Los Carlos with the Motor Misfit Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this great episode. We have somebody so incredible on this episode. This guy is just so cool to talk to, gave so much insight, and will help a lot of people out there. Today, we are talking with Basim Gurgis at D-Sport. Basim is the senior editor-in-chief at D-Sport, and he takes us through his incredible journey on how he basically went another route in school and then went towards the car route and followed his passion to write about cars to being then the senior editor-in-chief at D-Sport magazine. He will take us through his whole journey, give us some great advice, and hey, he's just a great person to talk to. So let's get into the episode. Thanks for listening. Let's go. Yo, 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 what is going on, everybody? This is your boy Los Carlos with Motor Misfit. Thank you for tuning in to another great episode. And guys, today we have a really awesome episode. And I know I say that a lot, but today is really awesome because we have such a cool guy on today that I know is going to bring a lot of value to a lot of you. We have Basim Gurgis with D-Sport Magazine. He is the editor-in-chief over there. What is going on, Basim?
What's up, Carlos? I'm glad I got one of those cool intros. I keep thinking about it. I was hoping for one for myself.
Awesome, man. No, dude, you deserve it, man. Like, you are such a cool dude. If you guys, well, I know you guys don't know, but I've been talking with Basim. He's been very accommodating with some things that have been going on. But just generally, every time I talk to Basim, it's always a cool experience. So thank you, brother, for coming on the show.
Same with you, man. I really enjoy talking to you. I think we talked probably longer than how this podcast is going to go the other day, and it was a lot of fun. You just kept talking.
Yeah, man, definitely. I kept thinking, I'm like, man, maybe I should get out my laptop and hit record. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been part two of this.
Yeah, basically. Hey, guys, Basim has been a car enthusiast for years. At an early age, he has been writing and creating content in the automotive scene, freelancing and making it happen. He started at D-Sport and Hard Media almost 4 years ago and has been climbing that automotive career ladder ever since. Today, Basim will take us through his journey and provide some great advice and insight to all of us. I'll pass it over to him and he can share a lot more about himself because, as I told him, I could not find too much on the personal side, but he is going to grace us with being able to share some of that with us. So what's going on, Basim?
Thank you again for the intro, man. That was beautiful. Like I told Carlos before we went live, not a lot of people know a lot of my personal side, and that's going to be exclusive. People might know in the industry, but they don't know much about the other side. But, you know, I'm, like Carlos said, I'm the editor-in-chief at D-Sport Magazine, which is under Hard Media. Hard Media also owns Import Drag Racing Circuit, IDRC. It's a drag racing series that we go around the United States putting on some awesome races. We're predominantly import performance magazine. We are also the last print magazine in the performance world. I mean, there's other print magazines out there, but nothing in the performance side since Super Street, which we're also great friends with. It's always good to have some competition, right, Carlos? I mean, keeps us all going. But unfortunately, they pulled the truck, or Motor Trend pulled the plug on that. As far as my career, I mean, I have been in the automotive industry for a while, just nothing as technical as D-Sport Magazine. If you guys know D-Sport, we're extremely technical, and we kind of just always take the engineering, scientific aspect of automotive and our testing and stuff. We'll talk about that more as the podcast go on with the testing and how it's like to do an issue of D-Sport Magazine. I mean, that's we get a lot of questions like that. But yeah,
It's like D-Sport is like, it's like you guys get nitty gritty with everything, man. And that's good, man, because that's definitely needed. If you're a car enthusiast, you definitely, well, not all car enthusiasts, but if you're that type of car enthusiast that always wants to be messing with your car, then you know that you can definitely find a lot of great content on D-Sport.
Right. And that's what we try to do. I mean, it's awesome having, like, you know, lifestyle shoots and stuff like that. But I feel like now with social media and stuff, which we're still heavy on, but it's just, there's just so many other things. And I mean, a little background on D-Sport, we have our own, you know, 2000 horsepower all-wheel drive dyno. We have our, you know, it's a chassis dyno. We have our own machine shop. We build race engines there. We have our, you know, we have two lifts in a shop. So we have literally all the tools to build a race car from scratch, you know, and we do that.
You guys are really about it. It's not like, oh, we have a project car and let's get it in our little garage. No, you guys are like full force over there.
We are. I mean, we're really pushing, like, for, it's just good content is so hard to have, you know, with, you know, if you go on a forum and you ask a question, you're going to have literally like, the same question is going to have five different answers that just don't go together. And it just becomes so hard. It's almost like I have to try the first answer. And if it doesn't work, you know, I might have to rebuild my engine and start from scratch. You know what I mean? So we kind of do the hard work for you guys, you know?
Awesome, man. And that's much appreciated because obviously, like, you definitely want to be able to follow, like, how somebody did something versus you going through the trials and tribulations yourself. I mean, sometimes that's good because you do learn, but if you can avoid a lot of those things, you know, it's a lot better.
Spend your time learning about something else that maybe that wasn't, like, covered, you know, and actually tested, because it's just unfortunate, you know, blowing your engine just because you did something so minor that, you know, that you could have avoided, and just because misguidance and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly.
So again, back to it. I mean,
D-Sport, can you let us know? So you've been into cars.
Yeah.
So you've enthusiast. Yeah. Let's go way back.
I've been into cars since I was a child. I mean, we didn't have any cool cars growing up. And again, a little something personal here. I mean, I grew up in Egypt. So we didn't have a race scene or anything. I grew up just loving cars that should not be loved, if that makes any sense. My my grandpa gave my dad a 1984 Mazda GLS. I mean, that car is slow and it's ugly and there's nothing special about it. But, man, I looked at this car and I'm like, I just was so in love with this car. I was like, I would hold the napkin for my dad while he checks the oil. You know what I mean? I was so into it. I can still remember, like, some tiny, tiny details about the car. And then I just literally been in love with this car since I was a child, right? And since then, I'm just anything cars. I remember playing a game with my dad. Like, he would kind of tell me what kind of car that is just based on the taillight from, like, you know, 200 feet away, and I would try to guess it and then we'd get close to it. You know what I mean? Like, these days.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My dad totally encouraged me in that aspect. He was a car guy himself. And then so since then, I mean, I came here, you know, things, you know, I came here and I went to college, and in college I fell in love with writing. So that was the second part of my career, I guess. And finished school and I was like, I need to combine my two passions, which are cars and writing. Then I went into, I know I started at a car auction. I was a condition report writer in the Sun. really hot, man. It sounds nicer than it really is. It was horrible. It was so hot. But you know what? It was like a blessing in disguise. You know, like really, I believe that God does everything for a reason. It was just one of those things that was the right thing for my whole career. It kind of, you know, I became an editor for a company called Internet Brands, which is an automotive company. And they literally in the interview, he said, well, if it wasn't for the car auction, we wouldn't have hired you. So I was like, okay, so that played a role here. You know what I mean? It taught me a lot.
And exactly. Then, it was the stepping stone, man.
Yeah. So I became an editor for Internet Brands. And then from there, I was driving too long. And I was like, you know what? I want to go the freelance route. I want to test it out. Did that for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that number was. And then I started at D-Sport, and here I am talking to you.
Nice, man. That was a hell of a journey, man. From starting at hot car auctions to now being at D-Sport. That's awesome, man. Well, actually, from starting off with your dad, man, and his Mazda GLS to where you are now, man. Wow, that's awesome, man.
We ended up getting rear-ended on a bridge, and the car was almost totaled at that point. My dad loved that thing so much. I mean, there was nothing to love about it, but both him and I loved it so much. I don't know why.
Hey, man, it's all like beauty is all in the eye of the beholder, right? That's what they say, right? So absolutely. Although, okay, you look at it, it's an ugly car. Like it was your car. Like,
yeah,
you loved your car. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, I totally get that. My first car was my first car, and I couldn't drive it because it had title issues. Uh-huh. I bought this car for like $300. It was like a 1986 like Civic hatchback.
Nice.
The thing was ugly as heck, man. It was ugly because it wasn't even like the 88 one. You know how the 88 kind of started getting a little bit more round, but still square. But this thing was ugly, like ugly. But I loved it, man. I had it parked in my uncle's house for like a year, man, while I was trying to deal with the title. And I would go every weekend and wash the freaking car, vacuum it, even though it wasn't getting used.
Yes.
Vacuum it, wash it. I drove it up and down the street and then parked it back and then left.
You're driving a Honda Type R, so that's probably what ignited your love for Hondas.
It could be, yes. It definitely could be, man. And then, like, I was so sad when I got rid of it, but hey, it is what it is. I only paid like $300 for it, man. I went to a car auction, actually, now that you're talking about auctions.
That thing right now, you can just turn it into a track car. You don't have to worry about the title issues.
Yeah, that is true. Although at that point I was like what, like 16, and I was just trying to get a car so I could daily drive everywhere. So bad. All right, so you started out getting into writing. Is that what you studied in school, journalism?
No, I literally fell in love with writing the last year of college. I was in business. It was business management, which I guess helped a little, like on the business side of the magazine. But as far as like my passion goes, it was completely different. You know, a writer and a car enthusiast, the last thing you want is manage anything, right? You just want to manage your car to get down the quarter mile good, you know, without breaking down. But yeah, no, it was business management. Kind of fell in love with writing, and I was like, wait, so I can there's a way to combine both of these passions, you know? And that's where it started.
That's awesome, man. You definitely accomplish what a lot of people out there still haven't been able to figure out how to do. And not saying in a bad way, right? Because obviously everybody has things that they have to take care of, whether they have a family, whether they have to do this or do that, and they just can't align it right now. But that is where they want to get to, man. So congrats on that for sure.
Thanks, man. I feel like you hit it on the head with that one. I mean, they have other responsibilities, but I think there's just a little thing called just whatever it takes. And with that, it's kind of like, I feel like you can always find time. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you can find time to go to your to a job that you hate, then why can't you, you know what I mean, work a little harder after hours and do the something that you love. And at that point, that thing could end up changing and just kind of setting up your whole future. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of like, you know, and I know you have a story. You kind of got into photography and all that. And you know, you know how hard it is to have people pay you for photography. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just kinda, it just comes down to sticking with it and just kind of fighting through and just doing whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. And, you know, that is awesome, man. Whatever it takes. That is the key phrase there. Because a lot of people have that notion, like, and they think it's easy to just follow their dreams, right? And sometimes it is, you know. Mm. But then you have a thing called life, and life is not always perfect. Life is not always fair, right? So when you're coming to that road where you're like, damn, this isn't easy, that's what you got to think of. Man, yeah. Is it something that I want to do? Yeah. Okay. Then I got to do whatever it takes. That's exactly. It.
And I think we can kind of judge the accomplishments by the times it was really hard, not the times it was easy. Cause I mean, there is, you know, sometimes people kind of, everything kind of lines up for them right off the bat and things go easy, which, you know, all power to them. That's great. But at the end of the day, if you want something to happen, you just can't rely on that, on these odds. You know what I mean? You just have to kind of just make it happen. And, you know, and just kind of what, like the, another thing is, it's kind of like, you should have confidence in yourself and value yourself a certain way, but you can't let that get into the way of doing whatever it takes, which for example, writing, you know, that just, you know, let's take writing as an example. If you were like, oh, I'm not going to write for free because I believe in myself that I'm a great writer. Well, yeah, but if you know, maybe that's what people are waiting for. They want to see you. They want you to prove yourself to them. So sometimes you just need to you know, do things for free. Just get out of your way and get out of your comfort zone. Get out of what you're usually would be willing to do, just to kind of get to what you want. And it comes down to, I feel like a big part of it is doing things for free. And I know this is not something you want to hear on a business podcast, but in the beginning, you just have to do whatever it takes. And sometimes that requires you to do free stuff, you know, and as a photographer, no one will probably know that more than you.
No, man, that is definitely true, man. And, you know, I gotta say, like, I was before photography and totally out of the car scene. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to, like, this was when I first got married, which is a horrible time. But yeah. I was pursuing like a music career, right? Okay. I was like a urban Latin artist, if you want to say. But you learn quickly that there's 1,000. Millions of people that are on your same boat, and everybody's trying to make it, and you got to do shows, you got to put out music, you got to invest and waste the money, or not waste it, but spend the money yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do stuff for free.
Yes.
Because how else are you going to get your stuff out there? Right. Yeah. And it's the same in the automotive music scene. You hit it on the nail. Like, whether it's writing, whether it's photography, whether it's whatever, like, even if you want to become a mechanic, if your dream is to become a mechanic, although there's a lot of other positions out there that you can go after. But if that is your dream, you know, sometimes you just go and just hang out at your local mechanics, hang out at your local dealership and just show them that you're interested in this, you know.
Absolutely.
Time is money as well, right? So even if you give your time, you're still making it happen.
basically. Yeah, and it will always pay off, man. I mean, worst case scenario, you're going to learn. And no matter how good you think you are, I think we just learn every single day. I talk to my dad. He still learns, you know, almost 70 years old, still learning.
Wow.
You can never stop learning. And that's the thing. It's like, you feel like, well, I don't want to do this for free. And then when you end up doing it, you're like, oh, I learned so much from it. Well, then it's not free, right? You pay for school. Why can't you pay for experience? Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And I can totally relate to you with the music scene. I was in the music scene myself, and
nice.
I must have spent probably between me and a few band members $50,000 probably over the course of like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Like recordings and, you know,
yeah,
and you know how you get like so close. It's all about like getting so close, and then you're like, oh, this is it, this is happening, okay, so we just gotta finish this, you know, this album, and you spend like $10,000 more, and all of a sudden you just realize how brutal that scene is. I mean, the automotive scene is a saint compared to this.
No, you, yeah, you're totally right on that, man. Like, that music scene is just, it's full of like freaking sharks, man.
I miss the music part of it, playing live and stuff like that. But as far as the business side of it, I never want to go back. I love where I'm at.
Definitely, man. I'm on the same boat. I love like creating music, writing music and stuff like that. But I'm good with actually being in the scene. You know, at some point I wanted to just be behind the scenes. I was like, because I used to write like songs as well. I was like, man, if I could just write these songs, I'm good. I don't need to be performing. I don't need to to be in the limelight.
Or maybe like a freelance musician. They can just hire you, give you a flat fee. You can go in and do your thing and leave. That just do the fun stuff and not have to worry about the business side of it.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. Exactly. So, all right. So you went from school.
Mm-hmm.
You started at the auction place. Yeah. Writing, you went to, it was a internet,
internet brands. After the auction. Yeah
Okay, but that was also automotive, or?
Yeah, Internet Brands was automotive, and they own like a many websites. And I was just you know, at first I was an editor, so I was kind of like, you know, co-managing a few websites. And and then at some point I was like, you know what, I'm giving work to all these writers. I think I can make the same amount of money if I start writing, and then I can do it from home, because I was driving an hour and 15 minutes maybe every single day, each way. So I was like, you know what, let me give this a shot. So I told my boss at the time, I was like, hey man, you know, quality of life. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, I'll write from home, you know. And he was like, hey, you know what, I'll give you as much work as I can. So I did it for a while, and from there I started, you know, getting different freelance jobs. I wrote for so many different places. And at some point, you know, when the automotive was down, I was writing for a company. It was called, I don't know if they're around anymore, but it was called Crush Empire. And they would basically they would pay really well, but give you like the most random work. I mean, I remember having to write about politics, and I was like, I'm not into politics, but you know what? I can research it, learn it, and write about it. You know, it was like, it was just kind of one of those things where, like you said, you know, yeah, you just have to take care of your bills. I remember writing about Trump back way, way before he was ever even running for presidency. He was making business deals. I was writing about that. But yeah, so I wrote for so many different companies. I wrote for business to business, automotive companies and stuff like that. I got a lot of, I met a lot of cool people, like from GM and Ford and stuff like that. And it was awesome. But when D-Sport presented itself, I was like, oh, I got to give it a shot. And honestly, it was one of those things where I applied for the job on Indeed. And I, at the time, the managing director, his name was Troy Miyamoto. I mean, that guy is, you know, really inspiring guy to me. I believe he's one of the best businessmen out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. he just knows business. But he's now over at Remark Exhaust. He works with projects, and he owns Cause USA. He makes the differentials, the limited slip differentials. He owns that. Wow. So he calls me 3 days later, and he's like, hey, can you come in for an interview? I remember going to an interview. They were like, okay, you know, we did the interview. They were like, when can you start? I was like, well, I can start now. They were like, all right, why don't you, you know, it was, I think it was a Friday. I said, let's start Monday. And I started, and it was on a deadline, magazine deadline. And that's what I was there with reality. I was like, oh, this is not going to be easy.
Just throw you into the wolves right there.
Yeah, like my first day, I remember it was like being there till 2-3 in the morning. It was brutal.
Oh man! So you applied on Indeed, and they just called you, obviously because you already had the experience. But that's how that happened, or did you know Troy from before?
No, never knew Troy. It was basically based on experience. But what the thing is, I had like, if you're comparing, you know, these sports technical knowledge, mine was like 1 out of 100. You know what I mean? I was just not a technical writer at all. And these sport was just a complete different level. So I like the first 3 months were rough. And I remember, you know, Michael Ferrara, he's the publisher at these sport. He was like, you have to learn, you have to really get up to speed or I can't keep you. And I remember just like literally, you know, we have the machine shop. I'll be like, okay, let me work in a machine shop on a Friday so I can like learn, you know what I mean? And he would come and be like, okay, what is this? I was like, it's a crankshaft. Okay, so if you increase the size of the crankshaft, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like he would literally test me day and night until I got up to speed. And I feel like if I work like 3 lifetimes at D-Sport, I can never be as technical as he is. I mean, the guy is a mechanical, aerospace and mechanical engineer. And he's just like,
wow.
I think he's one of the most, you know, knowledgeable people in the industry. But I mean, compared to where I was, it's leaps and bounds, but you know, compared to where he is, that's just going to take me a few lifetimes.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Oh man. Well, that's wow, man. That's a great, like, that's a great story of just getting at it and kind of like getting to that spot, man, where I don't know if that was your dream, let's say, but it was definitely, I'm sure it was definitely like a goal of yours to get into and really writing like for a major publication like D-Sport about cars, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, that's awesome.
It was a big dream of mine to begin with. I mean, I, like back way before I even started the auction, I was writing for free. I created a website. I was writing. I must have written 200, 300 blogs, and I was just writing every single day, like religiously, and my dream was to have my stuff read, you know what I mean? So it was just one of those things, and then I started at D-Sport, and you kind of like, you start around a company like that, where it's just, you're constantly around cars, around engines, around performance, around racetracks, around you know, even reviewing OEM cars, and then I'm like, I can't mess this up. You know what I mean? Like, I have to really. So that was just like the difference. So I just getting there. I was like, okay, that was a big accomplishment. But all of a sudden, it's like, wait, I could lose this at any moment because I'm not up to par with these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, it was kind of like a challenge after another, and it's just everything happens for a reason, man. I mean, it was. It was definitely a dream come true, just kind of actually like writing things that I felt was being read, and then seeing, you know, my first issue on newsstands. I remember like going into Barnes and Nobles, and then I saw it, and I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. obviously it's just never enough because you feel like, okay, well, I have to keep moving. But luckily with D-Sport, I mean, I can always just continue getting better just because it's so technical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. So what – all right. So you mentioned that was a great accomplishment.
Hmm.
What were some failures or some challenges that you had along the way? And I know you mentioned the technical – I guess the technical aptitude maybe for the automotive, but can you name anything else that maybe was a challenge or a failure that you experienced?
Yes, definitely, man. I mean, so right after school, for 2 years, you know, I was promised, I remember at the college, you know, I was getting my bachelor's degree, and I remember there in the graduation ceremony, whatever, they're saying like only 30 something percent of Americans get their bachelor's degree. You guys are going to be great. You're going to do this. And all of a sudden, I find myself almost 3 years sitting at home without a job. I'm applying for hundreds of jobs every day. I'm not getting any calls, right? And then it was just like, I was like, whoa, like, this is literally like no one is calling me. And when I remember getting an interview with Disney and like the lady, I remember the way she talked to me, she like made me feel like really like I'm not good enough. And you know what I mean? Like it was just a stab after another to your character and what you think is good about you. Cause like, you're like, oh yeah, which kind of taught me a lot about the colleges are just businesses, just like they're, it's just like everything else. They're going to tell you whatever you need to hear to make you feel accomplishment. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I mean, that is the first big challenge. Like I was hit as an adult, like where it's like, you know, I'm on my own here in this world and I need to make something happen. And that's when I started, you know, I started a website at the time. It's not around anymore, but I started writing. And then it was literally because I didn't study literature. I studied business. So I had to really teach myself every single rule about grammar and punctuation and get myself to the level I want to be because it's my passion. So I was teaching myself that as I'm applying for jobs and doing all these things. And, you know, that was the first major challenge. And then, like I said, the car auction, which at the time I was hating, but I thank God for now, it made a huge difference in my life. And then, you know, since then, like nowadays, the challenges are daily because the print industry is just ruthless. And it's not ruthless in terms of like the people or anything. I mean, obviously we work with the same people, you and I, you know. Yeah. I mean, you had Ian. I think I was on the phone with Ian a month before you had him on from Bruce. You know? So we know the same people. So people are awesome, but yeah, it's just kind of getting the magazine out and kind of tackling projects that are bigger than the time we have delegated to them. And just like being able to finish on time, it's a monthly challenge. But I would say the failure is kind of just sitting at home and just getting people kind of stab at you and at your, you know, at your character and at your professionalism. You know, obviously at the time maybe I didn't have much because I was fresh out of college, but it was just kind of like something that was super discouraging at the time. Just kind of one of those things where it's like you have to fight through it or you can just be without a job because no one is going to do you any favors. You know what I mean? It's if you can sit and feel bad for yourself, but no one's going to feel bad for you.
Yeah, definitely, you know? Man. No, and that's a really big one because I know a lot of people that were kind of on your boat. You know, they do their 4-year degree. I know people that like got their master's and they were still like, man, I can't get a job. Like, what's going on? So, and then job interview after job interview after job interview. And it's like, they're not getting it. And yeah, like sometimes they will get talked down to like, like, why are you even here? type of thing. So I totally get that, man. And thanks for sharing that with us. That definitely will resonate with a lot of us.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just like you cannot see yourself from the eyes of other people because they don't know you. They don't know how hard you worked. You're literally the only relationship you have with them is that phone call you're on with them right now. And if you just listen to them, a single phone call could completely change the direction of your life. You know, yeah. If you call me and you go like, hey, man, you know, I really want to work for D-Sport. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, man. And I'm like busy at the time. I can't talk to him. And that person go like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm just going to go and work, you know, in accounting or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of like, don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone. Just listen to yourself and do whatever it takes. I feel like that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, man. That's definitely true, man. Mm. What has you excited for 2021? Whether it's with D-Sport, whether it's on a personal level, what is that one thing, or actually more than one thing, that has you excited?
Yeah, okay. So I picked up a C7 Corvette. It's Bullstar. It's Stingray. I'm so excited.
Nice, man. Congrats.
Thanks, man. I'm so excited to kind of see what that thing can do because it's so wild. It's in stock form. And I'm just like, I want to supercharge it. You know, I talked to Vortec and And I'm just kind of like, okay, so I want to do it right. And then right now I get zero traction and it's stuck. I want to like adjust the wheels and tires and kind of go from there. And I'm just so glad, I'm so excited about like the kind of the scene coming back to life after the whole COVID thing, or even
during. Yeah.
People just learn to live with it. You know, it's unfortunate, but I feel like events and just seeing how excited people are at the drag strip and you know, the tracks in general, you know, and just kind of take my car to the track again. Last time I went to the track, I had a Subaru WRX.
Was running. Oh, nice.
That car was so fun, but now I'm like used to like a rear wheel drive with like no traction. Rear wheel
drive beast.
I'm probably gonna run like 14 seconds in the 8 miles just because I want to be doing a burnout the whole time there. Yeah, but I'm excited, man. That's exciting. I'm also excited for just like just the projects we have and kind of, you know, building all these cars. We have a good team at D-Sport and everybody has a car and we kind of like have so many different projects and, you know, we just have to address them all. And it's exciting. It sucks that I'm the only one that has to actually write them at the end. Most of these projects. Like if I'm having Mike write like the super, super technical stuff, I can't be like, okay, can you write an update on this project? You know, because he'd be like, no, it's your job. So I have to like be like, I was like, okay, so what do you like about this turbo kit? You know?
Yeah.
that's the part that I have to do, but it's exciting, man. Seeing how excited people are and just getting back out there on the track.
Awesome, man. Oh, that's awesome. And I share your excitement as well with car events and getting people back to the track, but I can't wait to see what D-Sport has coming up for the future, man, and what you have coming up for that Corvette, because I know that's going to be one of the project cars or one of the things that you guys will be writing about.
I just got to get a second car first before I start tearing it apart.
Hey, man, that would be the reliable way to go or the responsible way to go, right?
Oh, man, not if you know what the other car I want to get is.
Can you share that with us?
I am looking for a classic bug, and it's something that like my grandpa had when I was a kid, and maybe even possibly before I was born, because I don't have actual direct memory of it. And my dad had, it was his company car. It was like a 60s bug, and I've been so into them, man. I mean, like a year and a half ago, I bought a shell, and it was like a rolling chassis. They didn't have the engine or anything, and it was just one of those things where I'm like, man, I didn't take it apart. I can't put it back together because I don't know where anything goes. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to get it. I want to build it to be super reliable. Then I want to start tearing into the Corvette and drive this one today.
Okay. Well, you kind of threw me for a loop there when you said a bug, but I get it. You know, I mean, you know, they have their following, man. And I actually do like the older ones. I don't like the new ones.
Oh, no, but... no one. I don't think even VW likes it.
Yeah, that's true. But I like those older ones, man. And I know you can make them super reliable. So that's actually cool, man. I don't blame you. And I do think that you are taking still the responsible route.
Yes, right. I mean, it's responsible, right? If it's got four wheels and an engine, it's responsible enough.
And it gets you from point A to point B, right?
If you get to work,
even if you got to push it.
Yeah, I have AAA. I'm good.
Exactly, man. Well, that kind of brings us to like what I like to call the lightning round. These are lightning rounds, so I'm going to throw some questions at you, and you know you're going to do your best to answer them. Mm-hmm. There's three main questions, right? Mm-hmm. First one, what was that one car, and you cannot use your dad's Mazda, okay, that has impacted you the most?
Okay. So that one, okay, that's the one that impacted me the most, but my second one would be the bug. And I'll give you a third one just in case, but the bug was... you know, it was in the family. My grandpa had one and my dad had one. So that's a car that I've just always been into.
Okay.
you know, I can picture the steering wheel and the shifter and how the car looks. It's just a huge impact on my life. In fact,
is there a certain year?
Yeah, well, so my grandpa had the split window. So that was probably like early 50s, 52 or something. I mean, I'm sure someone out there is going to correct me, and I'm sure I'm wrong. but to me, anything up till 69, I'm good with. But after that, it kind of loses the feel for me. Okay, so there's another car. I'm going to give you a third one just because I already talked about the bug and I already talked about the 84 Mazda. The third one is it's a Korean car. It's a Korean car. It was my mom's car. It was a 1999. It was called a Daewoo. I think it's Daewoo. It's Daewoo.
I've seen those cars around. When you said Korean,
yes,
and you didn't come out and say like Kia what is it, or Hyundai or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh man, don't tell me he's going the Daewoo. I call it Daewoo maybe, but I might be wrong.
So I used to love this car because I used to steal it when my mom was sleeping, and I would go street racing all night. The car was really slow. It was a 1.5 liter naturally aspirated. It probably had 130 horsepower, and we would just race it day and night. It was a front wheel drive that I would drift with, you know, just kind of like, you know, just go around the corner, pull the e-brakes, and just kind of let it slide. I can't believe the, you know, the, I didn't blow the engine on that thing, but I did blow the clutch on that thing though. It slipped.
Your mom know it was you? Parked it back in the parking space and was like, I don't know how that happened.
She actually was super understanding. And what she wasn't understanding of was when I took the car, stole it, and then I would be out all night. She doesn't even know I'm out of the house. I come back and I can't find the same parking spot because we didn't have a garage or anything. And I would park it somewhere else. And she comes and she was like, did you take the car last night? I was like, no, what are you talking about? And she's like, wait, the seat is all the way back because I'm 6 foot two. And the car is parked across the street. I was like, oh, and I would like make up some really silly story.
They were cleaning the street on this side, how to move it.
I was doing you a favor. You know, there was someone playing soccer here. I had to move the car.
Oh, man.
So that car had an impact just because it was my first experience of just like taking the car out and just kind of be going wild with a car. Because before that, like my dad taught me how to drive when I was 9 years old, right? It was on my birthday. And I've driven so many cars since then, but this was the car I actually got to be wild with and just do whatever I wanted, you know? Yeah. So that I would say that's the third one that has an impact on me. First one is going to be the Mazda. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Thank you for sharing three of them with us because that definitely gives a good sense of where your enthusiasm started, man. So that's awesome, man. Thank you for that. Now that gets us.
That don't matter.
Hey, man, they matter to you, right?
Totally.
But that gets us to our next question, right? So those were cars that impacted you the most. Now, you have a 3-car garage.
Oh.
You have unlimited funds.
Oh, man.
But you can only have 3 cars. Which 3 cars would be in those parking spaces?
I feel like I should make this question contingent to never ask this question to anyone else again. Because every time I hear you ask this question, I picture these cars getting crushed.
Well, this isn't the crush question yet. This is just what cars would you keep in those?
But I know where it's going.
You know it's coming. It might.
Okay. So the number one car, it's going to be a Porsche GT2 RS. I love this car. Nice. I feel like it's the rawest of the modern cars. You know what I mean?
My that is second a nice car.
My second car is going to be that the over window bug that I told you about. I mean, that's just something. I'm actually working on getting one. Maybe not an over window now, just because it's super expensive. I can't get that. And my third one, I think I told you that over the phone, is the C8 Corvette. That thing, I drove that for a week. It's actually on the cover of D-Sport. Should be on newsstands now. That thing is insane. It was really cool. I couldn't be more impressed, and I like my car that much less since I've driven it.
Because you have a C7, right?
Yeah, I got the C7. I mean, the C7 is like the wild uncle, and the C8 is like the really, you know, the really good dad that's just super successful. I'd rather hang out with the uncle, to be honest with you. But the dad is just going to get, you know, he's just more efficient.
Awesome, man. Those are nice cars, man. Those are nice cars.
Yeah.
And you know what's coming next.
Again,
the third fast track question. So you already know, man, because you've heard it. Track Daily Crush. I'm going to give you a list of three cars. Yes. One will be a track car. One will be your daily. One you are sending to get crushed at the junkyard. So your list. Wow, man. You have named
my list, too.
you have named a lot of cars, man. That's why it's gonna be a little difficult. Because I like to make this question difficult, right? Because I always want to see what people are gonna say, right? So we're gonna throw that bug in there. You know that's coming.
Oh, man.
For sure. You know that's coming. So we're gonna throw the bug in there. We are going to go, you know what? We're going to go with that C8 Corvette as well.
Okay.
I got to go that sentimental route, man. You find that 84 Mazda GLS.
Oh. Is that on the list?
Yes, that's on the list.
Okay, so it's the bug, the Mazda, and the C8.
Yes, but it has to be that same Mazda as your dad had.
Oh, you're brutal, man. Okay. Okay. Oh, I can't believe this. So wait, but I can't track either the bug or this. I think this is the hardest one out of your guests, because you picked two cars that can't be tracked.
I'm going to give you two just because you said that right there. Right. So first let's do it with the Mazda. Uh-huh. And then after you answer that one, I've never done this before, but I'm going to exchange the Mazda with your dream garage and exchange it with the GT2 RS.
Oh,
all right. So let's do that. Cause I really want to know what your thoughts are and which one you're going to crush.
Okay.
If I leave the Mazda in there.
Oh man. Okay. So what's the current list right now? Cause
the first list is your Volkswagen Bug.
Okay.
Your Mazda GLS C8 Corvette.
Okay. So crush, track, or and daily?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to daily the Bug.
Okay.
No, hold on. I'm going to daily the Mazda. I'm going to crush the Bug, and I'm going to track the Corvette.
Wow. Okay, good.
I can't crush that Mazda. Probably been crushed by now. I can't crush it twice. And then
it has the sentimental value, man.
It does. It does. And I can kind of pick up another Bug after we hang up. So
yeah. That is true. Yeah. And now, well, okay, so thank you for that. And you kind of went the route that I thought you were going to go, because I really did not think that you were going to crush that Mazda, right?
No, but there's now, no way. No.
Yeah. But now, let's trade out that Mazda. Let's put the GT2 RS in there.
Okay.
Track, so it's a daily GT2 crush. RS. So we got the GT2 RS, the Bug, and the C8 Corvette.
Okay, so the GT2 RS, it's going to be on the track. Okay. The Bug is going to be my daily, and I'm crushing that CEO Corvette
for
being better than my C7. I wouldn't hesitate to do it.
Oh, wow. Revenge.
No, I mean, I feel like the Bug means more to me than the CEO Corvette. The Porsche has always been a dream car, so I want to keep that. And I'm just glad the Mazda is not in this one.
Oh, I mean, man, that I messed up. Maybe I should have done that one.
Yeah, because it's a really boring car. It's just sentimental value, so I can't crush it. But, you know, my dad would never talk to me again.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for playing twice, Track Daily Crush. That's awesome, man. I've never done that before.
I'm glad I'm first.
But I like your answers, man. I knew you were gonna go with the bug at the beginning. You kind of threw a curveball at me with the C8 because I really thought you liked the C8 more than the GT2 RS. But yeah, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's close. But the GT. Well, I guess maybe you know what I think it's. I've driven Porsches, but not the GT2 RS. So it's just one of those things. I love Porsches. I love the styling. I love all that, you know, the weight distribution. I love I can't say I love the mid engine because the Corvette is also mid engine now, but you know, I think I'll take the Porsche. Plus, I mean, I can always sell it later and get two Corvettes.
That is true. that's funny, man.
If we're going to play dirty, you know?
That's awesome. No, man, but thanks for playing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
I liked your answers for sure, man. So, dude, I know we've been talking for a while. We're getting now towards the end. I wanted to ask you three more questions, right? Well, actually, two more questions and then one last comment. So one question is, and this one I didn't get to ask you at the beginning, but I have been asked this before to kind of explain a little bit more about, you know, actual people's roles. So, and I didn't get into it with you. So can you explain to everybody what actually an editor-in-chief does at a magazine, or even whether it's print or online publication, what is an editor-in-chief?
Yeah, so an editor-in-chief kind of manages all the content. He's in charge of the editorial for the magazine, kind of do everything from the content scheduling to, you know, in most publications, if it's a corporate thing, the editor-in-chief would kind of decide all the content that's going to go into the magazine and all that. In my case, I collaborate with the publisher just because he's also the owner, and it's you know, it's kind of like this is his Mazda, you know what I mean? What is his Mazda to me? But yeah, I mean, I manage all the editorial. I kind of manage all the freelance writers if we have them. I manage the photographers and you know, just the final approval of all the content before it goes to print.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah. And then, do you actually write anything still, or is it just managing what actually goes into the magazine?
Yeah, no, I write a lot every single year, which is what keeps me the busiest. And that's another thing. What also, you know, I'm the one that kind of chooses the feature cars that go into the magazine. So if your audience have cool cars, you know, they can kind of hit me up because that I think that's the most time consuming thing that I have to do is look for feature cars. It's, you know, fortunately sometimes people kind of send us messages with their cars and stuff like that, but you know, that's just one of those things that kind of help. But yeah, I mean, I write a lot. You know, I'm constantly writing. That's the majority of the things I do at D-Sport. And I run any tests that I'm writing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the projects and stuff like that, you know, yeah. As long as I'm writing it, I have to run it so I can kind of really truly understand it and know every step and what actually happened. I still love writing. So that's something, even if like the publisher goes like, okay, I'm giving you all the budget in the world, you can hire all the writers. I'll be like, I'm going to get some help, but I won't just like completely take myself out of it. Cause I enjoy the writing process. And I at this point it's like, you know, like being in print part of it, it's okay. It's not, you know, it's still fun seeing it once it's printed because it's like, oh man, we worked so hard for it. But yeah, we still enjoy the actual process and just coming up with the, you know, the hook and all that stuff, you know. That to me, that's kind of where I started, you know.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, thanks for explaining that. I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, what they could aspire to be, and that this is an option for them to get into the automotive industry. So thank you for that. That leads us into one of my last questions. Mm-hmm. You've already shared so much. You've already giving us some great insight into how you got started, how the industry is, and quite honestly, like how the print game and online content creation game is on the automotive side. So what other tips or advice would you give somebody that wants to follow in your footsteps?
I would say get to know people, network a lot, to be willing to get your hands dirty, be willing to do work that you might feel overqualified for, just to kind of get your foot in the door. Cause a lot of times, man, it comes down to networking and just knowing people and kind of just being able to call D-Sport and ask for someone, and they know, you know, they're expecting a call, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just kind of getting to know people. Don't be shy. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's never personal. Just, you know, call. Don't ever take the rejection letters seriously, man. I mean, if you do, you're gonna hide in your room for the rest of your life. Just go out there and just kind of, you know, just keep working, keep trying, you know. And it's just at the end of the day, kind of, you know, always push for what you love, even if you can't do it at the moment. And you have to do another job, that's totally fine. And we can't just kind of go and say like, oh, you can only do what you love, because that's just irresponsible. But you can always do it after hours and always end up making it a career somehow, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Awesome, man. Thanks for those last words of encouragement for everybody. Lastly, man, I just want to thank you again for being on. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. Like always, I'm sure everybody can attest to this. It has been a great conversation, man. You are a really cool dude to speak to. So thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, man. I mean, I love the show. And, you know, you and I talked the first time and I listened to some episodes. I'm like, it's so fun. And I appreciate what you're doing for the industry and the people. I mean, you've kind of been on both sides, from the inside and the outside. And it's really important to kind of show people that, you know, the industry is awesome, man. The people are in it are cool. They're tight. It's a small industry. So I love what you're doing, man. Keep doing it. And thank you, man. I'm honestly grateful, man. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And lastly, where can people get in contact with you? I know the website for the magazine is thesportmag.com. And your Instagram is at thesport, but is there anywhere else that people can get in contact with thesport and with you specifically?
Yeah, if you want to get in contact with thesport, it's inbox@hardmediainc.com. That's hardmediaincorporatedinc.com. And as far as my personal email, it's Bassem, my first name, @hardmediainc.com. So you can send me feature car potential, you know, questions, things you want to read about, you know, you want to say hi, go for it.
Awesome. So guys, you heard it here. I know you already know how cool Bassem is. So definitely do not hesitate to reach out to him. Check out thesport. If you have not yet, go check them out, because this is an awesome, awesome magazine. And even their online online, you guys can get so much value out of it. The videos, the articles that are on there. But definitely go out and check out the magazine itself, because it is so good. And check out Bassem's the stories on there, because they're really good. He's a really great writer. And like he said, don't hesitate to reach out to him, to reach out to D-Sport. Again, Bassem, thank you so much, man. It's been great.
Thank you, Carlos, man. That was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Definitely, man.
Special questions, please.
There you go, man. There you go. But thank you, man. You have a great night, okay?
Dude, thank you, man. Bye.